God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. We are seeking to stay on the air for as long as we can and as legally possible during the coronavirus crisis. I will be starting a Bible study that will air on Wednesday evenings. That is going to start on Wednesday, April the 1st. It is for those who cannot go to church during this crisis, but who want to study the Word of God. It will be on Facebook as well as on our YouTube channel. We'll be going through the book of Genesis for as long as the crisis lasts. So I invite you to join us for our Bible study. You'll want to have an open Bible and a heart prepared to study the Word of God. Please join us on Wednesday, April the 1st. One encouraging thought for today before we air our interview. You know, when God created Adam, he gave him two primary responsibilities, to work and to worship. Genesis 2 tells us that the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and he put man there to keep it and to cultivate it. That's work. Genesis 3 verse 8 implies that Adam and Eve had regular fellowship with the Lord. They walked with him in the cool of the day. Your place of employment may be closed down, but you can still work. Maybe shopping, maybe doing repairs at home that you have put off, and of course, you can worship. So hang in there. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. We are delighted to have Pastor Carl Gallups as our guest on today's program. Carl has been on the show before, and he is also one of our speakers at the East Coast Prophecy Conference, September the 24th through the 26th in Columbus, Ohio. And I know, friends, September seems like it's really a long way off, but there are special room rates that are available. Make plans now and plan to come in September. The location is right near the airport and on the interstate. It's a great place to meet. We're going to talk about Carl's newest book, Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History. Pat Boone wrote the foreword for the book, and Pat writes this, quote, "It seems Carl Gallups is forever digging up treasures of scriptural truth that have often been buried within the back corners of the halls of modern theological difficulties and exegetical timidity. But truth is truth, and like diamonds or gold, it is not diminished by time." Close quotes. Carl, thank you so much for being our guest.
Oh, thank you, Brother Larry. It's a pleasure to be with you. I always enjoy being with you.
Well, Carl, I know you choose your titles very, very carefully. You could have used some other possible titles, but why the title Masquerade? What does that word say to the reader that you want the reader to take away?
Thanks. Well, you know, the subtitle is Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History. Well, what's that? Well, it's Satan's con job. It's on the way. We're over the threshold of it now. You and I were talking off air. I don't set dates or times, but I'm just telling the church, look, if the last days is represented by a great big old room, we've already stepped over the threshold. We're inside the room. People can, you know, determine for themselves at what place in the room we are, but it's happening quickly. We're moving quickly towards the day of the Lord. But in the meantime, the Bible makes it clear there's coming a generation, Brother Larry, that's going to see the rise of the son of perdition, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call him. The Bible calls him all of those things. And the Bible says that he will receive his power from Satan himself. And the masquerade is Satan is hiding behind the mask of governments and thrones and powers, ecclesiastical powers. He's hiding behind the powers of the church. Brother, he is. I know that'll make Christians mad, but he is. He's hiding behind denominational powers. He's hiding behind geopolitical powers. The Bible said he would do this. The Old Testament said he would do this. Jesus clearly said he would do this and warned us through several kingdom parables. I unravel those in the book. And then the Bible, you know, Paul says, but look, you got to understand, even Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, a messenger of light and truth. But he's a liar and a murderer and a thief, but he's hiding behind the curtain, kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know? I mean, what Dorothy and the Lion and the Scarecrow saw was a holographic image of this great big old face, this scary, loud-talking, deep-voiced, fire and brimstone man. But Toto went and pulled the curtain back, and behind the curtain was the one pulling the levers and pushing the buttons. And this is kind of what the Bible does that with Satan. It's like, look, we We know he's pulling the levers of geopolitical thrones, power thrones, money, you know, influence. He's behind the opioid epidemic and the sexual perversion epidemic and the redefinition of marriage and home and family epidemic and the abortion holocaust and disease and pestilence. He's behind all of that. And what I'm trying to do with this book is to wake the church up to the times we're living in, the prophetic connections to the Word of God and to our own headlines. And this is not headline theology where I just pick a headline and make it say something or make the Bible say something about it. No, I take the whole historic panoramic, the whole biblical panoramic, and compare it to the understanding of scholars of ages past and even of our days. I do some word studies in there, but I try to keep it at a level that just everybody in a pew that likes to read will get it, they will understand. And I'm trying to pull back the mask of what Satan is up to so that the church can understand. God has not given us a spirit of fear, Brother Larry, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I'm just trying to help God's people understand we're living in very prophetic times. Satan is just duping the world. He's grooming the world for his kingdom that is to come. It won't be a long-lasting kingdom, but it's on the way. And regardless of where one falls in rapture theology, I'm saying to the whole church, we need to be awake. We need to be coming up against the gates of that kingdom, just like Jesus told us to.
Well, Carl, the more I read your book, the more I am firmly convinced of the reality of the unseen realm. I mean, I've believed in the unseen realm, but, you know, it just becomes so real in your book. And I'm thinking of Dr. Richard Gallagher, who teaches at Columbia University and New York Medical College. He's an Ivy League educated, board-certified psychiatrist. He calls himself a man of science, yet he is fighting Satan's minions. I mean, I believe he's a Roman Catholic, but the stuff he says, the reality of spiritual warfare, this is from a mainline, he's an Ivy League guy. This is really tremendous testimony.
Yeah, thanks. It's all in the book. It's all referenced. It comes right out of mainstream reporting. Even the New York Times did some articles on him and what he was saying. And basically, to put it in a nutshell, and you've read the book, so you know, but to put it in a nutshell for your audience, so here's this Ivy League educated, board certified, renowned psychologist, and he is coming up. He knows how to medically diagnose chemical imbalances and things like that, which, by the way, are all a part of the fallen world. And Satan even uses those imbalances to mess with our sin nature and to mess with our mind and to manipulate us. But there are some clear-cut cases, and this is what he is saying, that are often misdiagnosed as purely psychological or psychosis or chemical imbalance, when in fact they are demonic infestation. They are cases of demonic infestation, pure and simple. And so he started confronting some of that in biblical fashion, not claiming to be an exorcist, not claiming to be some man of the cloth, just a believer, yet a very educated, science-based man. And lo and behold, he says these people started speaking unknown tongues, started cursing the word, cursing the name of Jesus. They gained superhuman strength. You know, every demonic manifestation that the Bible even speaks of just started manifesting right in front of him, and he knew he was on to something then. And so anyway, yeah. I mean, listen, the church just, by and large, most of the church in America just doesn't know this stuff. And it escapes them. It bypasses them. And so much of America's church is kind of asleep at the wheel while we're getting ready to go off the cliff of prophecy. And so I'm just trying to wake the church up, brother.
Well, you write about addictions. I mean, you write about so many things, but you write about addictions and how the forces of darkness can use them. Talk to us a little bit about how can a person find deliverance from addiction? And my next question is tied in with that. Do you think our modern world and the erosion of biblical values makes us more prone to being trapped by an addiction than in earlier years?
Yes, I do. And let me back up. How can we find deliverance from addiction? Well, first of all, we could do a two-hour show on that. I have a deep, deep ministry in that. My son, who's an associate pastor of Redeemed Ministries in Northern Alabama, they have an addiction center that's a part of their church. They deal with people who are caught in the throes of addiction, men and women. They've got people from all over the United States that come to them. And they don't do any exorcist Hollywood stuff. They do the biblical stuff, and they put these people in this program, and so many of them are being delivered and cured that even the local law enforcement and judges, judicial system is recognizing them. The sheriff has become a good friend of theirs. Judges are calling upon them, putting people into their program rather than putting people in prison. It's absolutely amazing. Our church is deeply connected with that. Our church, we've got addiction. We've got a ministry called Chain Breakers, and we help people recovering from addictions or people that are in addiction or people that have loved ones that are in addiction. So what I do is I show and I prove in this book through the scriptures that the Bible speaks of drug addiction. It speaks of pornography addiction. It speaks of these things. I mean, to the letter. And I know some of your listeners say, wait a minute, I've never seen any of that in the scriptures. Well, read my book. It's there. The words are there. The language is there. The English translations sometimes obscure them, but it's there. And the Word of God is clear. The book of Revelation speaks about pornography addiction and drug addiction. And it talks about those being some of the greatest addictions of the last days through which Satan works. So in my book, not only do I uncover all of this, but as you know, I've got an addendum chapter called Deliverance, where if the reader is caught up in any of this stuff, or even if they're not, if they have a loved one or a friend that is, that chapter, I wrote it as though a person is walking into my office and saying, Pastor, what do I do? Where do I begin? And I take you through the scriptures, I take you through the prayers, I take you through the adjustment of the heart, I take you through the aftercare, and everything, just like I would if somebody came in. And then in the back of the book, I have hard resources, phone numbers you can call, websites you can visit, resources you can get a hold of, DVDs, books for group studies, it's all there. But now the book is not a self-help book. I mean, it just uncovers the Word of God and puts it right into a person's life and into the headlines. But as we uncover it, then we run smack dab into these addictions and demonic attacks. It's all a part of Satan's masquerade. And so I couldn't just write that without giving the solution, you know? So that's why I have the practical section in the back of the book, and the book and my chapters direct people to the back. So, this is real. The Bible speaks of it. These things are of epidemic proportions around the globe, and my book deals with it. And then, yes, brother, I think more than any time in the history of the planet, we are susceptible to these things. Look, drug addiction, sex addiction, alcohol addiction, anger, hatred addiction, all these addictions, emotional addictions that Satan plays upon, they've been around since the garden. They've been around since the flood. So these are not new. But what makes this generation different and what makes this so prophetic, we're the first generation to have the technological accoutrements of our culture that put us in contact with each other 24/7 around the globe. We have instantaneous global communication information systems and transportation systems like the world has never known. I can get on a jet airplane, be anywhere in the world within one day or less. I mean, it's just astounding. And so the whole world is connected in many, many ways. And so what's happening is these addictions, the demonic realm is using all of this to get this spirit of the Antichrist not just into Europe, not just into America, not just into the Middle East, but to permeate the globe. And these addictions, suicide, these pandemics of drug abuse and pornography and suicide and abortion death and on and on and on, these godless philosophies and political correctness, it's sweeping the globe. It's the spirit of Antichrist, brother, and we are more susceptible than any generation before us. This is prophecy coming to life before our eyes. And as I said, even the book of Revelation speaks of these very things, and I uncover that in my book, too.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes, but you've got a fantastic section on the parables of Matthew 13. You've got a really keen, you've got a target there. I'm thinking the mustard seed parable. There are many commentators who see this as true kingdom growth. However, The mustard plant is a shrub, and it shows abnormal external growth. Furthermore, there are birds that nest in the branches. And in the parable of the sower, the birds that come to nest in this huge monstrosity are actually antagonistic to kingdom growth. So tell us about Matthew 13.
Yeah, thank you, brother. You're so kind. The first four parables of Matthew 14 are undoubtedly, when you read them in context and you listen to Jesus' definition of two of them, then you compare the words that are used in the other two to words that Jesus, the same words that Jesus uses throughout the scriptures and the apostles use and the biblical writers use, it's unarguable as far as I'm concerned, and I think my book proves it very clearly. And scholars besides me, I mean scholars from ages past have seen it, but it's been scrubbed out of modern theology. But the first four parables are not about the miraculous growth of the kingdom because we're doing such a good job of spreading the gospel. I mean, primarily they're not about that. Of course, we are encouraged, even through those first four parables, to be about the kingdom work. That is our calling. But the first four parables are warnings to God's people that especially in the last days, Satan is going to plant the tares among the wheat. Who has done this, the disciples ask. The enemy has come in and sown this. Well, what's he sowing? He's sowing it into the kingdom work, which is the invisible church. Well, the visible church, you know, the denominational, the church, the big church out there. Well, we know it's filled with wickedness. But there are born-again believers, the invisible church, blood-bought, spirit-filled believers that are broken-hearted by what they're watching in the religious world. It's crumbling down. It's filled with false doctrine and apostasy and sexual perversion and abuse. And that's what Satan's doing, and Jesus told us this would happen. And so, yeah, the parable of the fig tree. Excuse me, the parable of the mustard seed. Brother, I've read so many commentaries where the commentators say, yes, this is a sign of the supernatural growth of the church. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's an absolute declaration. It's the ripping off of Satan's mask, and it's a warning to the last days church. And isn't it interesting? A tree is planted in a garden, and it becomes ugly and huge and gangly, and the birds of the air make its nest in it. And just before that, Jesus has already said the birds of the air are demons. The birds of the air are Satan's minions. So how can they come to that? The one about yeast, it's like a yeast put in a batch of dough and it spreads through. And people say, well, see, that's the gospel, and it's like a little teeny thing, but it just does such a big thing. It's the growth of the church. No, it's not. Jesus is warning against the very thing Paul wrote about over and over, and the warning of Satan masquerading as an angel of light. Just before that, he's talking about false prophets and false doctrine and the doctrine of demons. It's like yeast that works its way into the church, and the apostasy, the falling away, the throwing truth to the ground, the lawlessness. That's what those parables are about, and it's a warning, and I expose all of that in my book.
Well, you're right on target there. I agree with you. Those, the traditional, you know, the marvelous growth of the kingdom and so on and so forth, it just doesn't fit. Well, Carl, we are out of time. Thank you for being on. We are looking forward to having you back for our next show.
Thank you, Brother Larry. God bless you.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of Masquerade.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the amazing new book titled Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History. You can have a copy of this almost 400-page book for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. If you would rather write to us and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book anytime, online, on our website at swrc.com. We also have the sensational book by Tom Horn titled Shadowland. You can have a copy of it for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Masquerade and Shadowland, for a gift of $30. To place your order, give us a call at 1-800 652-1144. And you can order on our website when you visit us at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
One of the worst things that anyone can do is to deny the seriousness of a problem and therefore to miscalculate the way to fix it. Would you think much of a surgeon, Marvin, who wants to take care of a cancerous tumor with a prescription for 2 aspirins?
Not much, Pastor Larry. But there is a cadre of politicians who make it clear that they are in deep disagreement with the Christian faith and with people who embrace the Christian faith. If you want to understand America's conflicts, you have to look behind the headlines and at the deep state actors who are at war with Christianity and who want us to believe that faith in Jesus Christ has nothing to do with America's well-being. Don't believe it.
Well, quite predictably, those of us who trace America's problems to dark spiritual forces suffer ridicule and even persecution. Take, for example, Todd Starnes, Fox News host, who was recently fired after insinuating that Democrats may be worshiping the ancient god Moloch, the god who demanded child sacrifices from its followers. While such a comment may seem offensive to many within the pro-choice community, it is still true, or at least should be, that our constitutional right to free speech protects our freedom to make religious correlations between modern political and cultural behaviors. It happens in the Bible all the time.
A modicum of intelligence and a willingness to let the evidence take us where it will, unimpeded by human ignorance, should allow us to look at the real movers and shakers behind the confusion, death, and destruction that is becoming ever more evident in our society.
Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The particular words used in the original Greek manuscripts, archons, exousia, and cosmokrators, depict malevolent, volitional entities that have an unholy hatred of all that is good and wholesome and have sworn to their master to destroy all that is good and wholesome. They hate humanity and prey upon our weaknesses and our foolish desires to satisfy that part of our being that rages against everything that is good. They operate by camouflaging their activities and forcing those who are in bondage to darkness to fling about memes such as, "It's the Russians, it's Trump's fault, it's capitalism, and it's the rich of the world who want to perpetuate their control over minority people."
We naturally want something or someone to blame. The truth is that none of these solutions will stop the problem, nor can the situation ultimately be blamed on any one president or policy. The world doesn't want to admit it, but humanity is fallen. Men, women, whites, blacks, and every other ethnicity are all rabid sinners by nature and choice. All have sinned, and all have fallen short of God's perfect standard. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will ever change that.
Well, yet, what excuses can the church marshal in its defense? A perusal of the churches of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 show the Lord's displeasure with some of the churches in the first century. To the church at Ephesus, the Lord of the church said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." To the church at Pergamos, Jesus said, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." To the church at Thyatira, the resurrected Christ spoke and said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." But perhaps worst of all is the seventh church, representing this present and last dispensation. They were lukewarm. Their Christianity was like lukewarm coffee. Their zeal was gone. Their excitement was but a groan.
It surely must make the Lord unhappy, Pastor Larry. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So, with love in his heart, the Lord Jesus gives that well-known invitation. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me."
These words are often used in evangelistic messages to the unchurched and the unsaved. But here the Lord of the church treats his church as needing new life. "I will sup with him, means to have fellowship and to enjoy the richness and the obligations of the Christian life. We can indict the world for its sin and rebellion, but Jesus Christ also indicts the church for its sin and rebellion.
Well, I think it needs to start with confession of sin and repentance, and I'm thinking about the church, Pastor Larry.
Well, too often we judge others by their worst examples while judging ourselves by our best intentions.
We need to be very careful in our choices, and as the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Well, Marvin, perhaps we will all learn something during the crisis caused by the coronavirus. Hopefully, we will be truly thankful for God's mercy, and we will become discerning. Spurgeon once said, "Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right."
2 Chronicles 7:14 doesn't call on the pagans of the world to repent. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name," and then it goes on and says, "shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land."
Well, Marvin, you know, many people today are very health conscious. They don't want vegetables that have been sprayed with pesticides. Medical science and health experts are telling us that the traditional way our food is grown, in an attempt to grow it quickly and protect it from bugs, is to spray it, resulting in an accumulation of pesticides that harm consumers.
I've heard a commercial about a man who is interested in hiking, outdoor sports, and good health. He says he has eaten a lot of wild berries and other things that grow in the wild, but he has never seen a tree with Twinkies growing on it.
Neither have I. And of course, the point is this. When we have allowed man to spray the pesticide of this world on our souls, then we wonder why we are cold in our hearts, and we wonder why we don't enjoy the filling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Revival must start with each and every one of us, and I am the first one to admit that fact.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the amazing new book titled Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History. You can have a copy of this almost 400-page book for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book anytime, online, on our website at swrc.com. We also have the sensational book by Tom Horn titled Shadowland. You can have a copy of it for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Masquerade and Shadowland, for a gift of $30. To place your order, give us a call at 1-800-652-1144. And you can order on our website when you visit us at swrc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Carl Gallups continue this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.